Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, evam vedam
tvam
sakalatmanam api svatmanam atmat matya ichakshate guru
arka
labdo panishat suchakshusha yay
te
tarantiva Vanritambudim. So, I guess we won't do this responsibly. I'll just recite it, since we don't have it written down. Evam vidam tvam sakalatmanam api svatmanam atmat matya vichakshate gurvarka labdo panishat shuchakshusha yete tanantiva vavandritam buhim evam vidam tvam sakalatmanam api svatmanam atmat mataya vichakshate gurvarka labdo panishat shukakshusha yete tanantiva vavandritam buhim evam vidam tvam sakalatmanam api svatmanam atmat mataya vichakshate kuvarkalabdo panishat shukakshucha yete taranti bhavan ritam buddhim. I guess some of you have it. Does anyone want to try it? Let Tanji go first.
Evam
vidam tvam sakalatmanam api Svatmana matmat mataya vichakshate
Gurvarka lap Gurvarka lap Do Pasat Adistat Sukha Sutsas
Gurvarka lap Do Panishat Shukap Shusha
Yete Tarantiva Bhavandritam Bhuvatulim
Yete turanti bhavan turam buddhim.
Evam vidam tvam sakalatmanam api.
Svatmanam atmat mataya vichakshate. Guvarka labdo panishat shuchakshusha. Yete taranti bhavandritam buddhim. Yes, that's it. So, word by word. Evam vidam. As thus described.
As thus described.
Tvam.
You.
Sakala. Of all.
Atmanham.
Souls.
Api.
Indeed. Swatmanam.
Swatmanam.
The very soul.
Very soul.
Atma atmatya.
Atmatya.
As the super soul.
As the super soul.
Vichakshate.
Vichakshate.
They see.
They see.
Guru.
Guru.
From the spiritual master.
From the spiritual master.
Arka.
Arka.
Who is like the sun.
Who is like the sun.
Labdha.
Labdha.
Received.
Received.
Upanishad,
Upanishad
of confidential knowledge.
Of confidential knowledge.
Suchakshusha,
Suchakshusha
by the perfect eye.
By the perfect eye.
Yay. Who?
Te.
They. Taranti.
Taranti.
Crossover.
Crossover.
Iva.
Iva.
Easily.
Easily.
Baba.
Baba.
Of material existence.
Of material existence.
Anrita.
Anrita.
which is not real.
Om
Bhurim.
The ocean.
So, translation, are those who have received the clear vision of knowledge from the sun-like spiritual master can see you in this way as the very soul of all souls, the super soul of everyone's own self. Thus understanding your original personality, they are able to cross over the ocean of illusory material existence. So, you can repeat,
those who have received
the clear vision of knowledge.
The clear vision of knowledge.
From the sun-like spiritual master.
From the sun-like spiritual master.
Can see you in this way.
Can see you in this way.
As the very soul of all souls.
As the very soul of all souls.
The super soul of everyone's own self.
The super soul of everyone's own self.
Thus understanding the original personality.
Thus understanding the original personality.
They're able to cross over the ocean.
You're able to cross over the ocean.
Of the illusory material existence.
Of the illusory material existence.
So purport, by the servants of his divine gracious Prabhupada, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth chapter, text 9, Janma Karma Chami Divya, Evam Yo Veti Tatvataha, Chakwa Deham Punarjanma Naiti Mam Eti Saurjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. Arjuna. So again, evam vidam tvam sakalatmanam api svatmanam matmataya vichachate kurarka labdo panishat shukchakshusha yete tadantiva vadabhavan ritam purim. So, Omaganath Mirandasha. Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So, of course, this verse deals with approaching the spiritual master. Actually, the word Labdo Upanishad means to come closer, and Prabhupada's servants translated this confidential knowledge, which means something that is revealed to someone who is very close. Like you have the Upanishads means to come closer, to learn something confidential. And of course, that confidential knowledge is described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, in the chapter. Confidential knowledge, the most confidential knowledge. Dham tu te guyatama prabhakshanam anusuyave yanavijana sayitam ekatva mokshase shubha. Same thing. Actually, it's the same thing that's being described here. Idam tute, this is being given to you. Guyatamam, that superlative for secret. The most secret. Superlative means most. For example, a comparative is a different thing. It's more, and then there's the most. So, most confidential, Guyatamam, prabhakshanam anusuyave, because you are not envious. So, this is why Krishna is revealing it to Arjuna. Now, the process for receiving confidential knowledge and realizing confidential knowledge from the spiritual master is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a very interesting way. He describes it as pancha samskara. I'm going to talk about this, which is very interesting. I'm going to describe pancha, of course, means five. Samskara means sometimes defined as reformatory practice and sometimes described as impressions. Just like sometimes you'll say that he or she has really bad samskaras. That means, doesn't mean necessarily they'll have bad reformatory practices. That means they have bad impressions from past births. You know, someone just can't give up eating meat, someone can't stop drinking alcohol, you know, it's really bad samskaras. And of course, by the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, Chaito Dharma Marjanam, those particular samskaras can be cleansed or eradicated. So, let's get back to the point. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this approaching or dealing with the spiritual master has five aspects which are essential, which is really interesting. It's called Pancha Samskara. So the first aspect is called Tapa. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his writings describes this in a very interesting way. He says this indicates in other sampradayas, not followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the tapa, of course, means austerity, tapa, the first word spoken in the creation through Lord Brahma, that the tapa would indicate that one gets the branding of the signs of Vishnu on his body. And we're talking about branding. We're not talking about, just like writing the names of Krishna or something like that. That means a hot. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that they do this amongst the followers of Madhvacharya, amongst the followers of Ramanujacharya and other sampradayas. They would put a hot brand in the fire and just... Now, he said, by the mercy of... Bhaktivinoda Thakur states this very succinctly. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we don't do that. But we have an aspect of tapa, because that tapa really is a mark. It's like a brand, like you have in America, of course, you used to have and probably still have, that they would brand cows. And these cows would be branded by the owner's brand. You understand what I mean? It'd be like Circle K or something like that. That's a Hare Krishna brand. So Circle K, or whatever, or Flatiron, or whatever the brand happens to be. And that way you understood that cow belongs to you. I'm not justifying that activity. I'm just saying that's what branding is. So tapa would basically mean that, according to the Upanishad, Isha Vasha Vidam Sarvam Jagat Kincha, Jagadam Jagat, that everything is owned by Krishna. I'm owned by Krishna. Or as stated, Manasa Geha Deha, Yogishimor, Abhilam, Tuyapati, Nandakishore. Everything is yours, Nandakishore. My mind, my body, my home, my wife, my family, everything is yours, Nandakishore. So that's really the essence of tapa. Even though we don't do that particular tapa, it's the very essence of it. So he says the internal aspect, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes very nicely about this Pancha Samskara. It's a very short essay he's written. I don't know if anyone's written it. I read this essay, but it's very interesting. He says, the essence of it is the internal understanding that, as Lord Chaitanya says, the first surrendering principle is to accept everything favorable. The second set of surrendering principles is to reject everything unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. In other words, reject things that don't please Krishna and accept things that please Krishna. In other words, this body belongs to Krishna. That's tapa. Instead of externally branding, he says internally. And then the next aspect of the Pancha Samskara, Pundra, and that's very interesting. We do that. That means marking the body with two parallel lines. Of course, that's Tilak, in case you haven't figured that out. That indicate like Krishna's lotus feet, and sometimes the Tulsi, whatever. But this marking the body is Pundra. So he said these are essential things, which is really interesting. Of course we do chant Hare Krishna, and that is the most essential thing. But he says these five aspects, as long as one is in the conditioned stage, which I think refers to most of us in this room, maybe not everyone, then these five aspects are important. So the next one is very, of course, Yuga Dharma, is Nama. That means the name of Krishna. One gets the name of Krishna from the spiritual master. Of course, it has to be heard from the proper source in disciplic succession. Sampradaya Vinaya Mantras Tevish Pada Mataha, that if one accepts. Thank you. If one accepts a mantra from someone not in the cyclic succession, it's not going to have effect. Or, even worse, it'll have a poisonous effect. Sapo chisti atape vaishnava mukho girnam bhutam harikatam ritam shravananaiva kartavyam. Sapo chisti atapayam. If one hears about Krishna from someone who's not Krishna conscious, then it has poisonous effects, even though the person may be chanting very beautifully, an expert musician. You know, so we know many expert musicians who chant Hare Krishna and they're eating meat. And people, devotees love them. Devotees buy their CDs, listen to them day and night. So anyway, nama. And the next one, the next two are actually a little more advanced. Next one is called mantra. Now, you may say, what's the difference between mantra and nama? Nama means Krishna's name, like Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Gauranga, different names of Krishna. Mantra refers to Gayatri mantras, obviously, which are specific manifestations of internal meditation, not just things that you chant, but internal meditation upon different aspects of the Lord's energies, the Lord's devotees, the spiritual master, of course, the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna and Vrindavan, the gopis, and Radharani. I mean, it's very esoteric, of course. And so that's an essential aspect that one gets mantra. And then the last one is yajna. It's not yajna. There's a difference. Yajna means sacrifice, you know, swaha, swaha. But that's not an essential aspect. It's not that everybody has to learn how to do sacrifices. In fact, sacrifices are not even the recommended process for this day and age. But yajna means deity worship. You know, so that's the last one. So everyone should do some sort of deity worship. And deity worship, of course, Prabhupada said that if one is living close to the temple, that's when doing the deity worship in the temple, that's first class. And, you know, it's not as first class. I don't want to say second or third class, but anyway, wouldn't want to be politically correct. When one is living a long distance away from the temple, but it's, one doesn't anyway. And Prabhupada said that, actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that a devotee will keep a Govardhan Shila or a Shalimar Shila in the home and do some puja. So he was referring to that. Of course, we understand according to our Srila Prabhupada's instructions that it's best that one serves the deities in the temple, because the deities in the temple are actually meant to attract people to Krishna. Not the deities in one's home. Yes, it's very nice, but you're not going to be usually inviting thousands of people into your home to see the deities or going on the internet and showing your deities every day like we're doing. So this yajna is absolutely essential according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So these are the five aspects that the guru trains the disciple in. And connected to those five aspects, of course, is the engagement of the disciple according to the disciple's psychophysical nature, which Srila Prabhupada describes as one of the duties of the guru. And I was listening to it, as far as the connection with the guru is concerned, I was listening to one of Prabhupada's classes this morning where Prabhupada really elaborates on what one's connection is. He said, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states that I don't care whether I get liberated or not. I just want to serve or please the spiritual master. So that's a very heavy statement when I heard Prabhupada say that. So this is how the guru enlightens the disciple, of course, through the various stages of devotional service elaborated by Rupa Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. such as Ado, in the beginning, Shraddha, the initial faith. I mean, faith is very hard to obtain, at least firm faith, like Krishna says in the Gita. Shraddham na purusha dharma shasha pavandapa aprapya mahamni vartante mrityu samsara vartani. Then if one doesn't have firm faith, then one definitely returns to birth and death in this material world. And even in the Christian literature, you have statements, you know, like, you know, faith can move mountains. So faith is really important, and sometimes there are tests of faith. And in Christianity, that's called the dark night of the soul. So what types of tests of faith are there? I mean, for example, I was just talking to devotees in Europe, and they were saying, well, how can I have faith in God after seeing what's happening in Australia? I don't know if any of you know what's been happening in Australia. In Australia, there's like thousands, going back thousands, even billions or hundreds of millions of animals being burned to death. And especially people are concentrating on the cute little koala bears. I mean, they don't care so much about the spiders and the snakes and the cockroaches and everything like that, but koala bears, you know, they can be, we don't want them burned to death, but the hell with the rest of the creatures. So, I mean, that's definitely a test of faith. I, you know, so they were, it wasn't devotees that I was talking to, it was a preaching program in Germany. And they said, you know, how can you believe in God and all these things are happening? And, of course, I explained karma in a very compassionate way. You know, we don't want to say it's their karma, but we describe it, you know, that people have done, that animals are not actually that body either, just like human beings are not their body. They had a previous birth, and what's happening to them is God's plan to teach them that ultimately they don't belong in the material world. And you know, miseries happen to everybody, not just the animals in Australia, in the forest, forest of Australia. So we explained later, so that's a test of faith. And or I was speaking to actually Adi Purusha, who is attending Cambridge University, and he's describing how it's very dangerous for devotees to go to the university. Actually, Prabhupada considered sometimes the university and some of the mundane schools to be what? Slaughterhouses. And why did you consider slaughterhouses? Because you'll get so much propaganda that may conflict with your religious beliefs. Sometimes that propaganda is the name of science, in the name of archaeology or anthropology. And it's just like, it tests your faith. You know, and you're thinking, you know, oh my God, what am I believing in? And then one has to, you know, if one is going to go that route, one has to study something like hermeneutics, how to interpret shastra, understand the words of the spiritual master. It's very complicated. I'm not going to get into it right now. So the main thing is one needs to have firm faith. So the firm faith is the foundation for Krishna consciousness, especially faith in the spiritual master and faith in the Vedic literature. Yesha devi param bhakti, yata devi tata guru. Faith in guru and the spiritual master and the Vedic literatures, yasha prakashyante mahatmana, then everything gets revealed to that great soul as a faith. So that, but that's the beginning. Ado shraddha tata sadhu sangota. And when one has that faith, one begins, of course, in the beginning it's not firm faith, later on it becomes firm. It grows with the process of devotional service, and then one associates with the devotees, and then when one associates with the devotees, then you come to the point of approaching the spiritual master, that's called bhajana kriya, which is part of this pancha samskara, which we just described before. And by this pancha samskara, under the direction of the spiritual master, pancha samskara, under the direction of the spiritual master, then one progresses further to anartha nivritti, getting rid of the anarthas, unwanted things. Then one progresses further to nishta, being fixed in devotional service 24/7. Then one progresses further to getting ruchi, or a taste, a firm taste that goes on 24 hours a day. I know that all of us, we get a taste from time to time, even when we first join Krishna consciousness. And that may be described as, according to Rupa Goswami, as dried up or burnt up, you know, bhava or attachment. But later on it becomes firm faith, a firm taste, firm taste, which is ruchi. And then after ruchi, a shakti, one becomes completely detached from all things of this world. And then and bhava, one gets spiritual emotions, which are constantly part of one's nature. And then after that, prema. So all these things occur due to the connection and the guidance of the spiritual master, which is described here. Guru Varka. This is a very interesting phrase. Guru Varka. Arka means like the sun or light. Just Arka. Guru Varka, the son of the guru, or the guru is like the sun. Labdo Panishad. When one receives this confidential knowledge, Su Chakshusha, that means one who has Shastra Chakshu, sees through the eyes of Shastra. And then Turanti Iva Bhavamrita Anrita, crosses over easily this ocean of material existence, which is not real. In other words, the ocean of material existence is real, but we perceive it in an unreal way. I think it's important to understand that. That material existence, or this material world, is real, but it becomes material existence by our attachment to it, which is unreal. Okay. So these are some of the points. So anybody have any questions? We've got 3 minutes left for class. Perfect.
That was really interesting. You mentioned about the class you gave. I wonder if you could elaborate a little bit more, because you mentioned that you keep telling me that this is a special way that God is teaching them.
All right, yeah. So it's very, when you're dealing with people who don't have faith in Krishna, in God, I mean, they weren't actually from India, so they was in God, G-O-D. One has to be very careful when one explains the concept of karma. You know, if you say, well, they deserved it, which is true. We're not denying that. They did deserve it. They did do something in their past lives. But that appears really heartless. So you've got to be sensitive to people. And so the way I would explain, the way I did explain it, is that these animals actually are eternal spirit souls. They did something in the past life, and this is to teach them something so that they would give up their, I didn't use the word sin, but give up their activity which is counterproductive for spirituality. And you have to be really careful, because you bring out these words. When dealing with Western people, there's certain words like sin that really tick people off, because they equate that with born-again Christianity. So I said that, you know, these animals were living entities, they were human beings, because you only acquire karma in the human species of life. You don't acquire karma as a dog or as a cute little koala bear, only as a human being. So they were human beings in the past life, and they did something, and there's a lesson they have to be learned. So I explain karma, or the karmic reaction that they're receiving, in more of a restorative way, to bring them to the right frame of consciousness. This is to help them. Because if you explain justice in a retributive way, then it really gets people. People don't appreciate that. You know, God just wants to punish. It's like Christianity, for example, where you see someone who did surrender to Jesus in this particular lifetime. They're frying in some ocean of fire or whatever it is, you know, fire and brimstone. And they're saying to God, God, get me out of here. And God's up there, you know, I saw a Christian tract, which you probably saw. God is there saying, well, you didn't do it this lifetime, you know, too bad, buddy, you know, fry eternally in hell. So you don't want to explain it in such a way that it will, stimulate some negative thoughts. You explain it in a very, in a very logical way. That God is doing this to reform the person, which is true. It's not actually that God just simply wants you to suffer. The punishments are given to reform the particular entity. And, of course, we're not happy to see that. You know, if we could help them alleviate that situation, we would do that by chanting Hare Krishna to the koala bears. And the koala bears would be relieved of their karma. So a devotee doesn't like that, that people or koala bears, any entity is suffering. And by the process of Krishna consciousness, we can actually rectify the consciousness without them having to go through that particular punishment. Just like when we chant Hare Krishna, all the karma, prarabdha karma, and all the other types of karma are eradicated. Whatever we had to go through is minimized in a token reaction. Like the, probably gives the example, the unplugging of the fan. Anyway, then we have to read the deities.